Joined now on News Talk 104.1 at 1600 WEJS, Todd Bartley with State Senator Doug Mastriano. First of all, Senator, thank you so much for taking the time on a very, very busy Monday.
It is a busy Monday, but this is an important one, and I think it's historic, Todd.
Now, we got to give everybody a heads up. First of all, you didn't intend to be a politician, right? And I use that term very loosely before you ran for elective office.
No, all I ever wanted to do in life was be in the Army. So I spent 30 years in uniform serving 12 years out of the country for combat deployments. But that wasn't on my mind. But as I was retiring a couple of years ago, it was really breaking my heart, honestly. This is not a cliche that I was handing over the state and country to my son, less good, less secure, less prosperous, and less free than how I got it. And as I was complaining to another radio personality about this, this young man said, well, Colonel, do something about it. And I'm like, you know what? He's right. I'm over here whining. I hate whiners. So, and here I am.
So speaking of here you are, you were a very outspoken, and still are, an outspoken critic of Governor Wolf and the orders that he's been handing down to stay at home, the business closure. And in the state Senate, you brought forward part of the legislation for Senate Bill 613. We'll get into some of the other legislation you're kicking around as well. But how devastating was it to go through that process of the House bill process, the Senate bill process, and then have it nearly instantly vetoed?
Yeah, no, it's really heartbreaking because you just wonder, what is Governor Wolf thinking? Does he care about the people that he represents, that he's supposed to speak for? And instead he runs over and defers to Governor Cuomo and the other New England governors. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I don't know. I think he's just deaf to the cries. You know, the Democrats used to say they're the party of the people. That's utter nonsense. They're not listening to people. They voted lockstep with the governor last week against putting us back to work, against safe common sense practices to resume operations. And instead, they'd rather have people scratching and scrawning around for money. But, you know, in the end, that's what socialists do. They don't care about the people. They just care about power.
I have to ask you this. Today was a surreal moment, right? We've seen the protests all over the nation. Well, they came to the Commonwealth today, and on the very steps of the Capitol and the dome that you work under, and a lot of times there's press conferences right there at the foot of the steps under the dome. Well, today it was outside on the steps leading into the Capitol. How much of a moment was that for you to address the public that was there?
It was absolutely a distinct honor. Thinking about the great men and women who've been here on the steps here talking to the people, and I was really humbled by that opportunity. Look, I'm just a soldier. I'm nobody special. But I'm thankful to have the opportunity here to fight politically for my people and to defend them from this nonsense coming out of Harrisburg.
Now, today, as I mentioned, legislation was vetoed on 613, and I believe the other bill that he has, in fact, signed, and the legislation is for the emergency relief for municipalities, communities, and that's Senate Bill 841. Can you walk folks through just briefly what Senate Bill 841 brings to bear?
Well, you know, I'm just going to talk straight, and you can probably imagine I'm a straight shooter here. It doesn't do enough. We needed 613 put in place so that businesses could safely open up according to CDC guidelines. I'm not using any talking points here. I'm just laying it out. And when the governor said no to 613, anything else after that is just not enough because we still have business owners and others here stranded trying to figure out what they're going to do next to put food on the table. And this is a big deal. I'm hearing from folks in my district, and not just one out. This is pretty common now. I haven't got any money in 5 weeks, and the unemployment claims office is not happening. It's not ready. I told Governor Wolf 4 weeks ago to get that thing squared away for the unemployed, the self-employed, since he fired them all in effect, and it's still on its butt. It's not happening. And so we needed 613 to go. Sitting in the queue, I have my own bill, Senate Bill 1103, to get us back to work once again safely. The left will say it's an either-or proposition. Oh, you don't care about people's health. Just utter nonsense. Yes, we do care, and CDC says there's a safe way to resume operations in the state.
Now, you've mentioned 1103. I have to ask you, too, you're looking at Senate Bill 1076. That's more Veteran Affairs and Emergency Preparedness. I want to ask you about that. And then also, as we're doing this, literally moments before we started this interview, you've introduced Senate Bill 1124, requiring the health department officials to release life-saving details during disaster declarations. First of all, can you walk me through 1124 before we go back to 1122?
Yeah, thank you for that. So the bottom line here is our Secretary of Health is only picking and choosing what information to release, and it's not the right amount of information, or it's not specifically targeted to help us. You know, initially, our Secretary of Health just would release statewide numbers early on in this crisis, then begrudgingly release it by county. And has been hiding behind a 1955 state law that our own Senate asked for a revision to in 2012 and 2013. And I actually have a bill that brings it up to speed. When you have a pandemic, you should naturally, common sense says, release the information necessary to save lives.
So, speaking of saving lives, one of the biggest numbers that we've asked for is recovered cases.
Yes.
And to be told that we're not even tracking that number when other states are doing that, I can't understand why that number is not being tracked. Did you include that in 1124, or can you amend 1124 to include that?
It can be amended to include that. I don't think right now, as is, it does have that data, but you're absolutely right, Todd. You know, every night when I do my Facebook live streams, I remind people what you see here is accumulation of data. It doesn't subtract out or include the numbers of who's recovered safely. And that's a big deal. So what is the recovery rate? How many people have recovered? How long has it taken the average person? What demographic is it hitting hardest? This is the kind of stuff we should be told instead of getting the same old talking points from the Secretary of Health. Oh, wash your hands and sing happy birthday. It's like, you know what? Just knock it off. Help, be helpful here. Don't treat us like kids.
So this is what I want to be our final conversation piece in one of what I hope to be many conversations as this continues to unfold. You made a guest appearance on this radio station on the Mark Scaringe Show in recent weeks. You had mentioned that the House and Senate had adjourned. You guys were brought back last week to bring forward, right, the two bills we previously talked about, ratified them. One's vetoed, one's been passed. During that conversation, Mark brought up the fact that he had brought the legal case against the governor. Since that interview's happened, of course, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled in the governor and the Secretary of Health's favor. Mark made mention today on the steps, and right before he went there, he told me in an interview on this radio station he was appealing it to the United States Supreme Court. As a legislator, Senator Mastriano, how does it make you feel that a governor's order is now being appealed to the United States Supreme Court?
It just shows you that he has too much power. A governor of a state should not have the right to determine which businesses are and are not winners and losers. He's picking winners and losers here. He has a secret waiver process. But anyway, you know, irregardless of the waiver process, who we don't even know which one he's awarding life to, is that he has too much power. And so I am thankful for those who challenged him in court. I also have Senate resolution together with Russ Diamond in the House here to end this emergency order. But the only problem is we both need two-thirds. I need about four or five senators from the Democrat side to bail on the governor. And so far, I'm disappointed to say they're not listening to the people's pain out there and they're voting lockstep with him. And so we could end this order right now if we just get two-thirds of the vote in the Senate and House to get behind Senate Resolution 323.
Well, let me ask you that, because if indeed 323 comes to the floor, you guys get the three-quarter majority that you need, right, to overrule the veto, and I believe they're called concurrent resolutions for each side?
Yes, exactly.
If you overrule that concurrent resolutions, his standing order, what's to say the governor doesn't say, okay, I'm going to sign it today on April 20th. April 21st, I'm doing a brand new order, and you guys have to start all over again.
Yeah, he has no recourse legally to do that. So what happens, we'll end that emergency order there, and then the legislator, once again, will resume our normal role in the whole process here. You know, he's not even talking to the Senate, not even a Democrat on the Senate side. He's running off on his own with his own little group of people here in star chambers deciding our fate. That's unacceptable here. He's causing undue pain and affliction to our people. We didn't need to shut down vast sectors of our economy that are almost low to zero risk to spreading the infection, and he needs to be held accountable. Why the General Assembly gave the executive branch so much powers over the previous 20 years baffles my mind, but when this is over, we need to rein him in.
So this is my question. He is referenced, and I've asked him directly about this, about who he's talking to legislatively, and he says, well, we're having these conversations. Honestly, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, who's he talking to?
Well, you know, I guess it depends how you want to phrase it. So he's calling the Senate leadership like 30 minutes before his press conference, and he made a major decision. He's not conferring. There's no advising consent. So you have to decide whether or not he's telling the full truth or not, but I can tell you firsthand he's not talking to the Senate leadership until it was right before a press conference, and just to inform them of his decisions, not to ask for any input. This is why this is such a rodeo here. He's going off this guy who grew up with no wants at all, and he has no idea what the average person like you and I have to go through. And he's making these massive decisions here, irregardless of its impact or effects on the middle class and the lower class as well. And he's forgotten the working man and women of America.
Senator Mastriano, I can't thank you enough for your time. And I saw your comments, heard your comments earlier today on the steps of the state capitol. And again, you do that in chambers or under the dome. Being on the steps, man, just took it to a whole nother level.
It sure did. And I'm standing right outside where I spoke just a few hours ago looking up. And we need to defend our freedoms. They're being trampled upon.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Todd.
There it is, Senator Doug Mastriano here on News Talk 104.1 at 1600 WEJS.